Hello and welcome to another edition of the Arb Life podcast. Today I call up Mark Prez-Curet and his students at the Fids and Fibers annual retreat splicing workshop. And we discuss topics like leadership, mentorship, and the conservation of energy.
Here you are.
Hey.
Hey.
Oh, you're nice and loud. I'll turn you down just a little bit. Say something else.
Check 1, 2, check 1, 2.
That's perfect. We'll get you set right there. All right, man. Can you make your camera go a little bit up so we can see your head? There we go. Gotcha. Can everybody see you?
Yeah. Yep.
Mm. Hello.
All right, crowd in there.
Hey. Hey.
TC, welcome to Fids and Fibers, man. We're on day 5 of a massive retreat, having a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's really cool. I've been following along on some of the social media that you guys have been posting, and it looks like a really wonderful experience. I'm very happy to be here digitally, but it's definitely not the same. I'm so envious.
I wish you were here, man.
Yeah, that's cool. I don't know how you want to get started, Mark. I know you said it was kind of like a question and answer thing, but I guess I could just do a quick introduction of who I am. My name is T.C. Mazar, and I am a arborist from Pennsylvania. I have a small little outfit here, and I do quite a bit of contract climbing in my market and in the Philly markets. So I do a little bit of traveling, and I also maintain a blog online, which some of you may know, the arblife.com. I've known Mark now for maybe 2 years, maybe a little bit longer. Just sort of from running into him at different industry events, and he is I remember thinking about Mark that he's a very unique individual by comparison to a lot of people that I've met in the industry. He's has a really beautiful and artistic mind, and I think he has a really a very unique vision for himself in the industry, and that sort of character trait really, I could really relate to that. Just a little bit of history between Mark and I, and sort of how we crossed paths and sort of established a close relationship ever since the first time that we hung out. So thanks a lot for having me, Mark.
Hey, it's my pleasure, dude. You're one of my favorite guys. I think you're doing great work. If you guys haven't been to the Arb Life blog, TC puts some of his musings on there in written form and also in video form occasionally, and he interviews different people in the industry. The amount of material that's there is growing all the time, and I really encourage you to get on there and bookmark that so you can check it out every now and then.
Just to comment on that, talk about content and what we're doing as arborists or as splicers or as safety trainers or whatever it is I think we're all trying to create content, whether it's product or whether it's information for other arborists or whether it's just our services in the form of labor. And I think it's really important to understand today's market is incredibly competitive, and people are developing new products all the time, new services all the time, and this industry is in a constant state of flux. And I think that's important to, no matter what you do, to keep on doing it, because if you get stagnant, eventually you'll just kind of rust over and that's going to be gone. And I think it's important too to understand, maybe take this with a grain of salt, but you don't always have to do things perfectly to, to do them every day. I think to have a system or a schedule that's constantly moving and sort of constantly in motion is real important, you know. And if you're feeling unmotivated or uninspired, I think the most important thing that you can do is to just sort of get the system moving, and the system sort of takes care of itself once it's in motion. But that was sort of just a little idea that I had off the top of my head there. So, yeah, I know that Mark said that this was going to be a question and an answer thing, but one of the topics that Mark had asked me to focus on was sort of an idea of leadership. And I said, you know, Mark, I don't really consider myself a leader per se. I've never really been in the position of a crew foreman or a sales rep or anything like that. But I have worked around some really influential people and some really great teammates and some really great arborists in general. And I've also I also have to say that I'm a really big researcher, and I love to read. And so I think that books and information can influence us in the same way that great leaders do. And I've sort of had the experience to read some really inspiring things that have always stuck with me, and to work with a few really great people. And that sort of experience in combination with one another has sort of led me to where I am today. And that's kind of a big part of the Arb Life, is just sort of sharing that oral tradition or that written tradition with the community. I try to focus on other people as much as I can, although, you know, ego sort of kind of creeps in once in a while and that whole thing. But, you know, if you consider your experience in the industry and how you have acquired your skills throughout your life or throughout your professional career, you know, you acquire your skills. It's an ongoing process. And I'm sure that you've had things that you were good at one time that you haven't done for a while, and things get a little bit rusty. So, you know, honing your skills and acquiring your skills is an ongoing process. And I think the more that you expose yourself to great leaders and great teammates, and they're not hard to find. I mean, you can do your research and identify people that have philosophies or ideals or companies or operations that sort of attract you. And so I think that...
Can I ask you a question, TZ?
Yes.
As a contract climber, I'm sure you've shown up on a job site where there's been a solid leader and a different job site where there's been a really crappy leader. And it's pretty evident to you being from the outside. Can you give us an example of how it works for you and how you see the team working when there's a good leader president versus when there's a leader who's maybe give me some traits of a bad leader and some of the things that have happened on that job site?
Yeah, I think the big thing for me, I think bad leaders are the type of people that aren't really good at listening. So like, you know, if you're working with a team or working in an environment where safety concerns might arise throughout the process or whatever, and you're working, say you come up with a plan and plans change and you want to communicate that or voice that, I think a poor leader is someone who is not willing to evolve to certain or adapt or evolve to certain situations that might arise. You know, as you're trying to accomplish a task, and that creates a serious problem, because you know, if someone doesn't listen to your concerns, then your perspective or the value that you're bringing to a job site or to a crew is no longer relevant. You may feel yourself not being able to make an impact or the impact that you believe that you can make because you're not able to communicate with, you know, whoever is in charge or whoever it is that you're working with. And I think on the flip side of the coin, I think good leaders know how to listen and know how to incorporate all of their resources into a task or into a project. And that's really challenging. I talked about ego before, and you know that I think that's really challenging because when you get let's say a team of four or five people who really excel at what they do, and everyone sort of has this individualized process of how they do it, then you can run into instances where, you know, people are not willing to adapt or change. And that's really goes back to what makes a great team work. And so I think as a contract climber, and again, it's not often that I work with a brand new crew, someone that I like absolutely don't know or have never worked with before. So typically when I go on the road, I'm working with people that I have worked with before. And I sort of have dissected them in certain situations, and I know how people operate, and I know what people are comfortable with. And I think that's a really important thing to consider is being receptive to what people are comfortable with. You know, you never want to force someone into a situation that they feel uncomfortable or that their safety is compromised or anything like that, because then they may make decisions that they're not comfortable with, and that can lead to mistakes, and then that can lead to either people getting hurt or property getting damaged. And I think that mistakes and damages, it always starts with some feeling of discomfort, and the problem is that no one communicates that. And it's important to keep that out on the table. So I think a good leader will be a great listener and a great communicator. And I've worked with just some fantastic business owners who are just really unbelievable listeners and great communicators and have such a great even keel to them just about how they operate with clients and on a job site. And so that's something that I've always really admired, and a trait that I definitely aspire to have myself.
As a contract climber, do you when you get on a job site, do you make an attempt to mentor the guys that you're working with, or do you just go hands off and just pay attention to your own business?
Oh no, I definitely try and buddy up with everybody. It's funny. I mean, I've been on jobs where it's like, okay, we're gonna knock out some dead wood and a couple trees and then go on down the road. And then I've been at jobs where there's all sorts of contractors pulling in and cranes and busy streets. So I sort of feed off the energy that's already present at the site. Mm-hmm. And my number one goal at the start of the day is to just be on the same page with everybody. I mean, you know, yeah. I never stop the learning process, and being out in the field and running around and sort of working with different crews, it keeps you exposed to all of those resources, all of your colleagues. And remember, all your colleagues that work in the industry, every one of those people is a resource. And the more you can reach out and talk to those people and ask them questions, or, you know, ask them what they charge, or how they deal with certain client issues, or, you know, what they do when someone is unhappy with a job. All of that is a learning process, and I want to make it very clear that everything that you know, you've learned either through your own trial and tribulation or through someone else's own trial and tribulation, especially if it's a really great experience or a really great piece of information. So, you know, I feel like as an arborist in the trade, as a journeyman or an apprentice, either way, we're sort of a collage of all of the people that we look up to and all of the people that have trained us. And so in that sense, you're sort of carrying on a legacy of safe work practices, proper arbor culture, you know, proper splicing, you know, anything like that. So, yeah, I would say that new situations are really good. I think that it's a good thing to feel nervous and jittery. And I think that, you know, the tools that we have are just that. Those tools are to get us through problem solving situations or times of, you know, times of a trying circumstance. So it's like, you know, you're not going to use all these tools that you have to just, you know, go about a normal everyday where there's no problems to solve or no task to complete. And so I think that new situations or situations that challenge us really will let you know where you're at as far as your skill development, what you need to work on and what you're really comfortable with and what you need to do for the future to get to where you want to be. So yeah, I can say that about challenging situations.
Yeah. So TC, as you're aging in the workforce, are you starting to think more about your own mentoring skills and how you can benefit others? Has that been a thing for you yet?
Well, yeah, I don't really consider myself any type of huge master of anything or that I have all this like really wonderful information to pass along. I don't think that's the case. I think for me a big part of arboriculture or being an arborist is the challenge of being successful. I feel as though climbing trees and making good money from being an arborist is very, very challenging. I actually come from a insanely saturated market, and I know a lot of other people do as well. And it's so physically challenging to be successful. And, you know, I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but I think that really if we think of ourselves as scientists and as artists, that challenge will bring out the best in us. And so all I can do is either express that through my blog and my podcast, which it really, that's what it is. It's conversations just like this, or it's recording things that I observe in a day, or a specific type of job, or a specific type of tool, or a specific type of philosophy that I'm really interested in, or maybe a particular thing that I've read that I, and so again, I want to document all this and record all this because maybe it can inspire someone else, just the tiniest little nugget of information can really make the world a difference. And so, you know, if you consider that mentorship, then Yes, I think about that a lot, and I think about how I can stay connected with my colleagues any way I can, and you know, the more you do something, the better you get at it. So
yeah.
if I don't if I get done with a job and I go pick my son up at daycare and I come home and I eat dinner and then I sort of I take a handwritten journal every day of every tree I've ever worked, I have it recorded in a journal, and so I'll visit that and I'll sort of think about my day, and it really does become like an obsession, and I feel this like deep guilt if I don't post an article or you know, stay up on my planner or whatever. So for me, it's a process, and I think that the more I stay engaged with that process, the better I get at it, and the more people I can connect with, and every time I'm not doing that, I feel this really deep sense of stagnation, and I hate that. And, you know what I mean? And that's the thing is, if you come from a cold region or a snowy region, you know that wintertime is sometimes slows down a little bit. So the research and the mentoring and sort of that search for inspiration provides a really a great thing in the off season too. It's just another way to, and that's the other thing I want to say is, as arborists, we're constantly engaged with tree owners or property managers or people that have trees that we can work on. Whereas sharing my experience, or the way that I see the world or have experienced the job site, then I'm directly tapping into arborists specifically. And so I really like that because I can sort of get away from that like whole homeowner, like this person really does not care and it's just about getting to a price that they're comfortable with and that's business as usual. Whereas, you know, the blogging and the journaling and stuff, I feel like that's a connection with my kinfolk, you know, people that are in the trade and that are doing it as well.
Yeah. So TC, I want to let you know that you're an inspiration to me. I read Arb Life religiously and I digest it, and you see me commenting on it. I know you do. And you know, I'm there. I find a lot of inspiration in the things you say because you tap into the emotions, the feelings, the experiences I have on a daily basis, and you pull that stuff out in such a way that it lets me think about it more. It gives me more words and more traction to sit with that and recognize what I've been doing. So I was curious. The reason I asked that question about have you considered your role as a mentor is because I think that you are so humble and you don't really quite see what an effect you have. And that's the reason why I asked you to do this. So
I really appreciate that. I would have to say that I am being a little bit professional. I do talk a lot of smack on the job site and I get the hype going pretty hard. So don't you know, don't think of me as this like wise dude who's like, you know, I could trash talk and be all tree guy potty mouth, so you know I'm ready. But hey, listen, so that's really cool. I was doing a little bit of are you trying to end this or do you want me to segue into something else, because I have something to say really quick?
Well, I want you to go for it. Absolutely.
Okay, well that's cool, because you had said that, you know, and Mark, all those things that you said, I'm very grateful for that, and I really can't thank you enough, and I really you're a huge inspiration for me, man. And I know that some of the conversations we've had at the comps and just sitting under the little sunscreen with the dogs, and you are definitely an inspiration, man, and one of a kind. And what you're doing, I think, and I said it earlier, is very unique. But I want to talk about a sort of what I try to do a lot of times is I'll take like a concept from either tree biology or an ANSI standard or like something, and I'll sort of like meditate on it a little bit and then try and write about that and make connections throughout my day, right? And one of my really I'd say one of my greatest influences, not so much on my philosophies, but on the style that I sort of try to write with, is Alex Shigo. I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with Alex Shigo, but Alex Shigo considered himself a plant philosopher, which is a really – this is like a really unique thing, because the way that Alex Shigo writes and presents concepts, he really breaks away from this scientific jargon, and he tries to like appeal to people's spirit and how they find themselves motivated about trees. So his writing does not read like a textbook. It reads much more like a plea to sort of engage on a deeper level with trees and how they work as systems. But I wanted to say that one of my favorite books, Modern Arboriculture, he talks a lot about energy in and energy out. You guys as rope splicers, you know, you can understand the whole concept conservation of energy. Energy is converted from potential to kinetic to elastic to heat. Energy is never lost. It's always converted into another form. And I wanted to say that that concept to me is so beautiful, because I feel like a lot of the things that I have learned and the whole learning process, you know, learning is energy conservation, and it's also energy consumption. So it's like, you know, people have all these inspirations, and when they share them, that's sort of like this energy transfer, and we're all doing it. Everyone does it on a daily basis, whether you know it or not. I really think that's a beautiful thing, and that's a beautiful concept to keep in your mind, because good things come from that energy transfer. You know what I mean? In rigging scenarios, keeping everybody safe, knowing how to smoothly move a lot of force throughout a system, throughout hardware, throughout rope. You know, that's conserving energy, keeps us safe. It also keeps us educated. It also keeps us inspired. And so if I can say one thing, try every day to sort of conserve that energy and pass it along in any way that you can.
Nice, man.
I didn't prepare for this, so I hope I presented well.
Well, you actually did prepare for it, because you wrote a couple different articles for ArbLife on the topic of leadership, and I'm going to send people over there. I'm actually going to read the latest one that you put up last night or this morning, and I'm going to read that one to everybody after we get off the phone. So
that's cool, man. I really appreciate that, and I'm so grateful for your time and everything you guys are doing, and I really hope you have a wonderful time, and everyone have a safe travels. And my email is northbranchlandscapes@gmail.com or thearblife@gmail.com. You guys can write to me, reach out. If anyone is inspired to write a blog post, I'd be so thrilled to publish it on the ArbLife. It's a platform for everybody, and so I hope that everybody gets involved and stays inspired and keeps learning. That's really about all I can say. Just go grab life by the balls.
All right, man. Thanks, TC.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks,
guys. I'll talk to you soon, man.
Definitely.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to another edition of the Arb Life podcast. Please get over to the website www.thearblife.com, sign up for an email subscription, share us on Facebook, get us out into the arborist community, and if you don't mind getting over, we have some tank tops for sale in the e-commerce store that help support some of the finances of keeping the website up and keeping the content fresh. Thanks again.